This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Obedience. One time I was walking to uni and someone had written chalk on the ground, "Not doing what you're told is fun." And I think that's what a lot of people think. "I don't have to do what I'm told." There's something in all of us that is rebellious. There is rebellion, a bit of it inside all of us. And often we say, "Oh, gee, if I was in the Garden of Eden, I just would have said to that snake, go jump in the lake." That didn't mean to rhyme, but anyway. But there's rebellion in each one of us. And sometimes we think, "Oh, we wouldn't do those things that all these other people would do." And well, we may. And unless we're focused on God and really seeking after him, who knows what each one of us are capable of? What depths of evil we will descend into, and maybe some of us have descended into. Just ringing a little bit if that can be the gain turned down or something like that. From start to the end of the Bible, obedience is a strong theme. I don't know if you've noticed that. Have you noticed that? That there's this theme of obedience in the Bible. In fact, right in Genesis, right here, there's one command that was expected to be obeyed, and it was, "Do not eat of the tree in the middle of the garden." God said to them, "Have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you not to?" Obedience is, this is what Andrew Murray says, it was great. Note how obedience to the command is the one virtue of paradise, the one condition of man's abiding there, the one thing the Creator asks for. Nothing said of faith, humility, or love, because obedience includes all of that. As supreme as is the claim and authority of God, is the demand for obedience as the one thing that is to decide Adam and Eve's destiny. In the life of man, to obey is the one thing needful. So there's a command right at the start of the Bible. And we see then a thread of, God's word going forth and man's choice to either obey or disobey that word, and for blessings or curses to come, as we see in the Garden of Eden, all the way through. In fact, right at the book of Revelation, in Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible, it says this, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that," this ties it in nicely, "that they may have a right to" what? "To the tree of life." It's been said that Christ died to redeem man back to the obedience from which he fell. That's a good quote, isn't it? That was Kevin Connor's one. Christ died to redeem man back to the obedience from which he fell in the garden. We lost the right to the tree of life here, but through obedience and the Holy Spirit living in us, enabling us and giving us a power to be obedient to the word, that tree of life, which we once lost, we can now gain and have eternal life forever with him. Isn't that amazing? And I think when you look at the Bible and see how much the word commandment and obey and laws and all these things are in the Bible, it's in there a lot. And I think that it's important that we we don't whisper what the Bible shouts, and we don't shout what the Bible whispers. That's good, isn't it? So this is a bit of a shout, because the Bible shouts out obedience. We're not going to whisper something he shouts or shout something he whispers. There's still a bit of, I don't know if you can hear that, Stephen. So what is obedience? Let's have a few dictionary definitions from your head. What's obedience?
Do as you're told.
Do as you're told. You've said that a few times, haven't you, June? Has she, Stephen? No. What else? Any other things that... To act on it. It's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to actually do it. Yeah, good. It's being readily submissive, isn't it? Because you can, I guess, force to be obedient, but that's not the obedience we're talking about here. We're talking about a voluntary, submissive attitude with the intent to do that word. I think often we think But it's impossible to obey. The amount of times I try and follow what's in here and, man, I don't know, has anyone been able to do all that this requires of us? No. And we know that's why Christ came and that his righteousness is ours. So we don't obey, I'm jumping ahead of myself a bit, but we don't obey to earn our way into heaven. We don't obey even to earn the love of God. We obey out of gratitude for what he's done for us. He has paid such a high price, and for us then to go and live in rebellion against him and all he's done for us, that's not very nice, is it? It's a stupid thing to do. So it's a heart of gratitude, and we're living a life out of that. We want to obey him. We love him. In the Old Testament, first of all, let's think about our example with Annalise before. As a parent, I want my children to obey me so that they can grow up into maturity. Is that right? That's really the only reason you want your kid to, unless you're some power-hungry dictator that just demands it. But parents want their children to obey because they have lived longer than them. They're older, maybe a bit wrinklier. It's all right. You can take that or leave it. It's up to you. So that they will grow into maturity and be able to then, you know, be so, you know, sufficient in the world and so on. And it's the same with God. He wants to bring us to maturity. He wants us to grow into the likeness of him. And if we're being rebellious little kids, that can't happen. If we're just digging our heels in and going our own way and doing our own thing, we're not putting ourselves in a position where God can work in us for us to grow. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word obey signifies to hear. It's interesting, isn't it? What do we have ears open to hear? In the New Testament, it's very similar. The Greek word obey takes it a bit further and says it means to hear under. So you're hearing underneath someone, I guess with the intent then to be submissive to that and obey. So that word obey means to listen. Are we actively listening for his voice? What is going in your ears that might be drowning out the voice of God? I like to walk at Birdsland down in Belgrave, Tacoma area. Have you been there before? It's beautiful lakes and lots of birds. It's nice, isn't it? It's good. Well, I really enjoy birds and looking out for birds, and too bad Danny's not here today because he's a bit of a bird freak. Anyway, if I was to think about it, I'd think, you know what, there's probably around four or five different, I know I usually always see, some ducks and usually see some sort of a sparrowy type of bird, and I probably see one of those common miners, you know. But one time I thought, but I wonder, if I listen and look and just keep an ear out, I wonder how many I can hear. So I went for just a 20-minute walk around the lakes and identified 19 different birds. 19. I'm sure there was more. But I was actively listening. I'd gone heaps of times before and maybe could count on one hand how many birds that I heard. But when I actively listened, it was amazing what I actually was paying attention to. Are you actively listening for the voice of God when you read your Bible, when you come before him in prayer? God, what are you saying to me through this? What by your Holy Spirit, you know, my interactions with people, what are you wanting to speak to me today? There might be 19 things that he wants to say to you today. Who knows? Andrew Murray says, the Father in heaven asks and requires and actually expects that every child of his yields to him wholeheartedly and entire obedience day by day and all the day. Sometimes we think that's a bit harsh, isn't it? God actually expects us to obey all day, every day, 24/7. Well, as a parent, isn't that what you do? And that you're there to help your kid if they fall down or if they make a mistake or whatever. And God actually expects us. And I think it's good for us to know that he doesn't give his commandments to us. He doesn't give us precious promises and all these instructions for us to take it or leave it. He's expecting that us, in the power of his Spirit, would live it out. Because the world needs us to live it out. there needs to be a difference between those who are in rebellion to him and those who are in submission to him. I think it's going to be the thing that really will be noticeable in the last days. So, I've taken some bit of alliteration going on here with this our outline today. We're going to work on it. It's on. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's not on. Yeah. I just turned it on. Bam. So, our outline. If we don't get through it, we don't get through it. But some of them are quite short. So, you ready? We're going to look at the purpose of obedience, the path of obedience, the power of obedience, the position of obedience, the problem of obedience, the price of obedience, the paradox of obedience, the picture of obedience, the pleasure of obedience, and the promise of obedience. Peter Piper picked a pickle, picked a pickle. Let's have a look at the purpose. Why is obeying God important? We've talked on it and touched on it. But here's a few reasons why obeying God is important. Because it's not about you. It's not about you. Your existence and you being here is not about you fulfilling your will. And I think the world would just cringe. There'd be something inside them that would just be like, in fact, there's something inside me that does that. What? I can't do what I want. I can't just do whatever I want to do. God sees the big picture and he has a plan. And his ways and thoughts are higher than ours. So we need to come underneath that. Another reason it's important is because we are to become more like Christ. We're to conform to his image. Also, we can't serve two masters, the Bible says very clearly. You're either going to obey one master or you will obey another. You cannot serve two. And in 2 Kings, it talks about what happens when you leave the commandments of God. Because it's not like you just leave obeying one thing and then you're in this vacuum of nothingness. No, you'll turn somewhere else to obey something. Have a listen. 2 Kings 17:16. And they left all the commandments. Oh, does that just... They left all the commandments of the Lord their God. This is Israel. This isn't just the heathen nations. And made them molten images, two calves and a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal. That's what happened when they left all the commandments of God. You cannot serve two masters. Think about the importance of obedience when you're in your car. Sometimes I sit at the traffic lights and I'm first cab off the rank, and I think, what if I just didn't go when the light went green? I would wreck everyone's day. What if I just got out of my car and ran off? And it was a single lane. You know, what if I did that? Wow, I could have such an effect. What if I decided to go when I was meant to stop? Oh, that'd have an effect too, wouldn't it? We obey for a reason, don't we, these road rules? Think about an orchestra. Think about an orchestra where they all had their music in front of them and it was all composed by, you know, this amazing composer and the conductor's there, and everyone begins and everyone is following their music except like for one instrument. He's doing his own thing. They're playing Brahms' Lullaby and there's the trumpeter playing In the Mood. Man, that'd just be horrible. It's confusing the composer's plan for what he had in mind. We don't want to confuse the composer's purpose. Jerry Bridges says this, "But God has not called us to be like those around us. He's called us to be like himself. Holiness is nothing less than conformity to the character of God." Eric Liddell said, "You will know..." I was going to stop so you can just get this one in your head. This is a good quote. "You will know as much of God and only as much of God as you are willing to put into practice. You will know as much of God and only as much of God as you are willing to put into practice." It's like that saying, you know, we're educated well beyond our level of obedience. Have you heard that before? We know so much, but how much do we do? So what's the path of obedience? How do we walk on it? We don't strive to do what he says just to get into heaven. But as I said, out of gratitude, we want to submit to him, have trust in him, and do what he's asking of us. It is not a path of servitude. Oh, yes, 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 master. That needs an eagle voice, doesn't it?
Yes, master. Yes, yes, okay, whatever.
It's of love. It's a path of love that we walk of obedience. And this is the key. We might turn to John 14 if you've got your Bible. John 14. Don't want you falling asleep out there. John 14. And we're going to go verse 15. Let's see what that says. It's just a short one. Can I have someone yell it out? Who wants to yell it out? Iris, go for it. He dobbed you in. 14 verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let's go a few verses down to verse 21. Verse 21. Can I have someone different read this one out?
He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him.
Do you see the key here? Love, obedience. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it's he who loves me. So when God looks down and looks down on all of us, you know, of his children, and he asked the question, who loves me? Well, it's those that keep his commandments. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. I want God to manifest himself to me. I don't know about you. In 1 John, let's keep going here. Let's go to 1 John. That's right near the end. After Hebrews and so on. If you get to Revelation, you've gone too far. If you get to 2 John, you've gone too far. 1 John, let's go to chapter 1. Oh no, sorry, chapter 5. One John 5 and verse 2. Someone else. He's going to jump in.
By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments.
That's good. We know we love the children of God when we love him and keep his commandments. Go to the next book, 2 John, chapter 1. Well, there's only one chapter in John anyway. And verse 6. So 2 John 1, verse 6. Someone, take it. Go for it.
This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in.
What is love? What's love? That we should walk according to his commandments. That's what love is. Wow. Love of God is walking in his commandments. I'm just going to flick my Bible and you can as well. It was mentioned last week, Psalm 119. It's the largest chapter in all of the Bible. It's an amazing psalm, actually. It's an acrostic psalm, and you know, and like an acrostic poem is like the first, you know, you like have a word downwards, and each of the letters start a new line. Well, Psalm 119 in the Hebrew is like that, except each, there's eight verses, all begin with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph. That's why it might say that in your... And then the next eight verses all start with the Hebrew letter, the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and so on, all throughout, eight verses for each one. That's why it's so long. So we don't actually get that when we read it in English, but just to let you know, that's how it works. So this whole psalm is written by someone who just loves God's word. They love it. I'll read first 1-8. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You've commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I'd not be ashamed. When I look into all your commandments, I'll praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. The next verse says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. We're to have a love for him, a love for his word. I encourage you to read that whole chapter if you can at some stage. Sometimes you feel like you're reading the same thing over and over again, but it is good. Let it wash over you. Just things like, your testimonies are wonderful. I love your commandments more than gold. Yes, than fine gold. Just over and over again. All right, let's go to the next one. The power of obedience. When we see the king in the book of Kings and Chronicles, we see after King Saul and King David and King Solomon, after that, the kingdom was divided into two, the northern tribes of Israel and the southern tribes of Judah. And then we see those two tribes running parallel. Israel, the northern tribes get taken away to Assyria, and that's it. They're into captivity. And the southern tribes go along for, you know, quite a lot more time until they get taken away into Babylon for 70 years and then return back to Jerusalem after that time. But we see, as we look through the different kings of Israel and kings of Judah, it's quite a depressing read because it just lists king after king after king, and it says so-and-so was the next king of Israel and he did not walk in the ways of his, you know, he just did not walk in the ways of the Lord. He didn't cut down on any of the poles that they worshipped. And if you get to a king that actually turns towards the Lord, it's a rare thing. There's none in the lineage of kings in the kingdom of Israel, in the northern tribes. There is no king that walked in the ways of David. There's like a handful, four or five or so, Joash, Hezekiah, a few others, who realized what was going on, realized that their father had forsaken the Lord. Joash was one of those found the book of the law and the temple had been lost. He found it, read it. Oh my goodness, we need to obey this. And to rebuild the temple and cut down all these idols. And we can see the power of obedience when we see a leader that turns themselves to the Lord. It's so strikingly evident that the entire nation was blessed and was at peace when the king was someone that turned their hearts to the Lord. If it was the other way around, the whole nation was in ruins. What about you as a leader in your family? What about you as a leader in your home, your workplace? Are you turning to the Lord? There's power in obedience. There's blessing there. We'll look at some of the promises a bit later on. What about the position of obedience? What position should we take? What should be the attitude of our heart? Can we turn to Psalm 25? There's a beautiful section in this psalm that I really think highlights the attitude that each one of us should have in our submission to the Lord. Psalm 25. verses 4 and 5. Have we got it? Are you there? Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Isn't that a beautiful picture of submission to him? Three things. Show me your ways. What a great prayer. You could pray that tomorrow morning when you wake up. God, show me your ways. In and of myself, I'm not about to seek them out. Can you show them to me, please, Lord? Next, teach me your paths. Don't just show it to me, but teach me your paths. Teach me the way I should go today. Teach me the way I should walk. Instruct me. How should I do it? And then thirdly, lead me in your truth and teach me. Isn't that wonderful? Show me, teach me, lead me. Let that be our prayer. Let's move along to the problem of disobedience. This is a quick one. The problem of obedience. The problem is, with obedience, is simply that we don't get to do what we want to do. That's a problem. Next. The price of obedience. Philippians 2:5. Look at the obedience that Christ, because Christ was the, we'll see later on, was the perfect picture of obedience. Jesus just didn't come to this earth and just do all these things off his own bat, die and then go to heaven. Everything he did was in submission and obedience to his Father. Everything. What I see the Father do, that I do. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Isn't that amazing? He humbled himself and became obedient. But what price did it cost him? He became obedient to the point of death. Even death of the cross. I think our level of obedience and love for the Lord and Christ going before us and showing the price that he paid, I think each one of us needs to think, God, I want to obey you to the death. And I know that's what Peter said to him. I'll follow you, I'll obey you. And Jesus knew that he wouldn't, but Jesus didn't rebuke him for having that attitude. I think that we, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we see it in the lives of missionaries and those around the world that have given their lives to the death and obeyed God wholeheartedly. We need to count the cost that it's going to cost us. It may not be our life, but what else might obedience cost you? Might cost you your popularity. Might cost you your job. Might cost you, I don't know. Your loss of pride or whatever. So the paradox of obedience, the paradox, something that seems contradictory but sort of works, is this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father and his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. I wonder what works they are. Are they you doing works to try and earn the favor of God, or are they doing the works that God's told you to do? And living in obedience to him. Let's have a look at a couple pictures of obedience. In John, we hear Jesus talk about sheep. And he says, I am the shepherd. What do the sheep do? What does he say of the sheep? They hear his voice. They know his voice. They know the voice of the shepherd. Psalm 103 says this, Bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. There's angels right now that are just living in complete submission to. They're not doing what they want to do. Hey, let's have a race. Hey, let's go and check out what they're doing just because we want to, or whatever. They are keeping his commandments. They're hearkening unto the voice of his word. Have a think of people in the Bible that life would have been very different had they not obeyed. Noah. He obeyed, built that ark exactly the way that God asked him to. And look at the result. Thank God that he obeyed. Look at Abraham. Abraham, God said, leave your nation because I want to do something with you that's going to be amazing, the father of many nations. Look at Moses. Yeah, you look at the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and all of these, and the amount of times it says Moses did just as the Lord commanded. Moses did just as the Lord commanded over and over again. He was a stickler for it. Got to do it just the way God said. I'm not going to turn from the right or left. And of course, we see Jesus as our ultimate example. In Romans 5, Paul contrasts the disobedience of Adam with the obedience of Christ, with the curse of Adam's disobedience to the blessing of Christ. And you should check it out, Romans 5, looking at those two and putting them side by side. The pleasure of obedience, we've talked about this. This is because it's out of love that we obey him. In 2 Chronicles, it talks about Jehoshaphat, this great king of Judah, and it says that his heart took delight in God's ways. I might just read it out. We have time. 2 Chronicles 17, verse 3 to 6. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father, and walked in his commandments and not according to the acts of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honour in abundance. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Does your heart take delight in his ways? Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. As a parent, if those of you who are parents or grandparents here, doesn't it just do your heart good when your kid obeys you with joy? Might be a rare thing, but man, it does something to you. Yes, Dad, can you do this? Yep, off they go. I love you, Dad. Oh, my goodness. And I think that to the heart of God as his children, for us to, yep, no worries, God. Yep, I'll do that. Yep. I think we need to have that attitude. Do we love him? Well, you can do a test yourself, can't you? If you love him, if you're keeping his commandments. There's a story of a man who's just searching the Bible, just looking through it. And someone said, what are you doing? He's saying, I'm just checking if I love God. Just checking if I love him, looking at all his commands. Am I doing this? Do I love him? What about promises of obedience? Now, I've had a look through scripture and pulled out some that just talk about if we obey the voice of God. I know we don't obey to get or to be blessed or whatever, but there's just a promise, this natural thing that if you obey, God set it in place that there are promises to those that obey him. Just like a kid will get privileges if they're obedient, and they won't get privileges if they're disobedient, the same is with us. There's a few of them, so I've sort of put in bold the promises. This is sort of what it's going to look like. We'll be a peculiar treasure unto God above all people if we obey his voice. The word if is in here a lot, if you'll obey. then I'll be an enemy to your enemies, an adversary to your adversaries. You're going to be a blessing if you obey the commandment. I will be your God and you will be my people. That's conditional. Obey my voice and I'll be your God and you will be my people, that it may go well with you. And we are as witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. I think we head back into Deuteronomy here. Keep the commandments. You can just look at the bold bit if you want. That your days may be prolonged, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land. I'll give you the rain of your land in due season. You might live and multiply. The Lord will bless you in your land whither thou goest to possess it. How about this one? You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. I remember hearing one message about someone got up and the whole thing was about you're a friend of God. And the whole thing was about being God's friend and how great it is to be God's friend. How, wow, what a blessing that God of gods is your friend. You're his friend. But not once did they finish the verse in their message. If you do whatever I command you. Seems like a pretty important thing to skip out. If you'll hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord, God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. The Lord will establish you a holy people. Sorry, it's in old King James, but there you go. God will make you plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, and the fruit of your land, for good, for the Lord will again rejoice over you. That's if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Oh, Lord, let us be obedient to you. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. It just goes on and on. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And, of course, the Revelation one. Those that do the commandments may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. So I'm going to give you, I'm going to read out a part from Romans to you. And Paul just gives, it's like right at the end of, near the end of Romans, and he just gives this whole list of things. There's a little subheading that he didn't put in there, but the person that wrote my Bible did. It said, live as a Christian or something like that. So as I read it through, I want you to think, I could show that I love God by obeying. Maybe there might be some that you think, ugh, I need to obey him. I need to obey him in that area. So I'll read some out. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honour giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. I've got one edition of the Bible that has like a little triangle next to a verse that's a prophecy and a little square next to something if it's something else. And there's a little circle dot if it's a command. It's really good to have. You flick through and you can see all these dots. Oh, there's commands of God all throughout here. In the book of Zephaniah, which is one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament, God's talking to Jerusalem about their disobedience. And we can look at that too. I don't know if I've got it there. Oh, yeah, I did. Have a listen to it first and then I'll put that up. It says in Zephaniah 3:2, Jerusalem obeyed not the voice of God. She received not correction. She didn't trust in the Lord. She didn't draw near to God. Four things that this is back in the time of the kings that those the king of Jerusalem and the people didn't do. They didn't obey the voice of the Lord. They didn't receive correction. They didn't trust in the Lord. And they didn't draw near to God. And that's four things as we look at them. Wow, God, may my heart be submissive to you. God, can I obey your voice today? God, if I'm mucking up in any area, can you please correct me? And I want to receive it. I want to trust in you, Lord, and draw near to you. John Bunyan said, What God says is best, though all the men in the world are against it. And I think we're coming, you know, we seem to be in this age where just about all men in the world are against it. But what God says is best is best. We need to obey, to hear under, have this hearing under in submission to him. We're to submit to the Lord. So can I encourage you to do that? Encourage you to read Psalm 119. And I hope this hasn't come across as a message of, oh, we have to do what God says. You know, but no, let us love to do what God says. Let us search the scriptures and let us hear. Hello, God. What are you saying to me today? What are you saying to me? Let's listen actively for the voice of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we love you. Lord, help us to be people that show that we love you because we obey you. God, in this world where submission seems to be a dirty word, where conforming to something is something that is not wanted, Lord, help us to break out against the current climate and culture. Lord, for our hearts to be diligently seeking you, for us to be listening for your voice, Lord, and be just ready with joy to obey what you're wanting to do, Lord. We know that there are great promises, Lord, to those that obey. But Lord, we want to obey you because we love you. Lord, we want to be counted as your friends. And help us in it, Lord. Thank you that you've sent your Holy Spirit, that it's not in our own strength that we obey, but it's by the power of God, by his Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, that gives us the grace and the power to come underneath your authority. Let us be people of that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbolt Christian Fellowship.